welcome to the show. Thanks for indulging that bit of nostalgia for the library. Petra Van Noyes and Andy Brown, who have been here. We're celebrating tonight their 10th anniversary, roughly, in Chicago.
Amazing, yeah. 10 years goes by quick.
What brought you guys here in the first place?
Well, I grew up in Cincinnati, and Andy moved there when we were both in high school. We actually met in high school, believe it or not.
I remember this. But I think I remember all these steps of your relationship.
You have an incredible memory.
I know.
I don't know how you do this every night and remember all these things.
It's only one day a week. If I did this every night, I'd jump out the window.
That's true.
So, but you met in high school.
We met in high school, and we both were into music, but not really jazz per se. Andy was in the blues. I was doing more musical theater and dancing. And
were you singing then, Petra?
I was singing, but it was more like of a musicals, you know, Broadway type singing. So then Andy kind of migrated from the blues into jazz, and I started hearing all his music. And then eventually we just kind of wanted something different than Cincinnati. There's fantastic musicians in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a great town on a number of
really
levels.
Great town. But we just kind of, you know, when you're from somewhere, you just kind
of
want to go do something else.
Did you both aspire at that age? I think when I was in high school, I aspired to be a football player. Did you both aspire to music as a career? Was that a viable thing when you were young?
I mean, for me it was, for sure, and I think for Petra too. I mean, the first time I came to Chicago, actually, my mom took me here when I was a junior in high school, and I was playing blues guitar, and I'm living in Cincinnati, and I wanted to go to Buddy Guy's Blues Club and all the, you know, the jazz record mart, and that was the first time I came. The second time I came was the summer after my junior year. I came to the Blues Fest. Some friends and I came from Cincinnati, and we were kind of on our own, you know, the summer before our senior year in high school, and we went to
Grant
Park.
Oh, that's dangerous.
It was real dangerous. I mean, you look back, you're like, wow, you let us go to Chicago by ourselves.
You survived? You didn't get arrested? Yeah, we didn't get arrested.
But, you know, just fell in love with the city then. I mean, just sitting in Grant Park and looking at the city and listening to the blues at the festival. You know, we thought about coming here for college, maybe.
Yeah, we wanted to go.
You both did. Were you boyfriend and girlfriend in high school?
We were.
We were boyfriend and girlfriend about 5 minutes after we met.
That's nice.
I swear to God.
Exactly did you meet? Was it biology class?
History class.
American history.
Was it really history class?
Yes, it was.
It was, yeah. I mean, we met, and you know, Petra was doing more theater and dancing and stuff like that. And I was, like I said, doing blues guitar. But pretty soon after high school, we stayed in Cincinnati. We both went to the conservatory there. It was a great conservatory in Cincinnati. And just our ears got more mature, and we both fell in love with jazz music and stuck around Cincinnati for a few more years because there was such a thriving jazz scene there, actually.
Talk to me about the jazz scene in Cincinnati.
I mean, we were talking earlier about Judy Roberts, fantastic Chicago musician, and she would tell you, because she spent a lot of time in Cincinnati, that Cincinnati musicians, especially back when we were first coming up, now unfortunately many of them people I'm talking about have died, but it was the hottest scene around, really. Judy would always say there's better musicians in Cincinnati than Chicago.
Well, you know what's interesting to me?
Sorry to say that on the air here in Chicago.
Sure. But given the, you know, relatively tender age of you two, there's another generation above you did you ever encounter any kind of bitterness and, oh man, seeing you guys better get out of this, you better get in musical theater, you know, there used to be 50 clubs here, you know, that kind of thing?
I mean, we've been fighting that every day of our lives, and as all artists are, probably. I mean, it's you know, you never know if this is really the time when it's all falling apart, because if you look throughout history, you know, I remember a buddy of mine recently reread Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, the guy's complaining in the book, you know, that this jazz stuff is horrible and people are actually taking it seriously as music and no one's listening to Mozart and Brahms anymore. So, I mean, that was written whenever that was written in the 30s or whatever. I mean, it seems like everybody's always lamenting this is the end of the era, no matter what era.
Yeah, and everybody is always saying, oh, the good old days.
Right.
Ah, the good old days. They're crazy. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Petra Van Noyes and Andy Brown, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend since American history class in Cincinnati.
Ancient history.
Well, ancient history. That's good. There was no music back then. A lute and a lyre.
Yeah.
Back, we're moving on from the high school romance and ancient history with Andy Brown and Petra Van Noyes, whose name I could never pronounce. Maybe it's better.
I hate to tell you,
What?
It's still not right.
Well, what is it? Oh, go ahead. Go on.
I'll pronounce it for everyone out there. Petra van Nuys.
Nuys.
I know.
It's
it
those
rhymes
crazy
with
Dutch
mouse.
People.
Remember,
it's
I,
the
mouse.
Dutch people.
It's
they,
the mouse, Dutch. Mouse, yeah, mouse, I don't mouse, like N. Mouse. Think of mouse, mouse with an N. That
That's
helps
the perfect
people.
Way to do it.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I thought I had it. I thought, well, you should have told me earlier. You should have told me earlier.
I don't even know how to say it. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about
it took Andy a year. Seriously, he didn't know how to pronounce my name for a whole
Petra.
Year.
What compelled you? So you played in Cincinnati for a while, and the club scene was fine, but yeah. Maybe wouldn't support full-time lifestyle?
I think that is kind of what it was. While there were so many wonderful musicians, it just wasn't – there weren't that many places really to play.
Yeah.
And I think just, like I said, when you're a young person, you just want to explore.
Sure.
And we had come here to Chicago several times. You know, it wasn't that far away. And we had seen people like Judy. We had come one time, I remember, we went to the Green Mill, and we sat, and behind the bar was Paulinho Garcia and Grażyna Guszczyk. And I remember I was so moved by their performance. I was like, tears, the whole thing. So I think after that visit, we were just thinking this is a great place, we should definitely.
Yeah, and you're still very young, and let's see what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, you the funny thing is, I mean, probably for a lot of people that leave their hometown, I mean, once you leave, you just look for what you had before.
Yeah.
You know, so actually when we left Cincinnati, we went to New York City. We lived there, and we'd kind of been weighing like the classic, should we go to New York or Chicago? And I had actually grown up outside of New York, and so I had that sort of Jones to live there, and Petra had been there a lot as a dancer and theater performer. So we kind of figured, let's get that out of our system first. And we went there and
for how long? How long would you say?
We were just there over a year. It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
How did you find the music scene in New York? I would think it might not be as nurturing as a place like Cincinnati and or certainly Chicago.
Chicago is like the happy medium, you know. I mean, Chicago has a heck of a lot more going on than Cincinnati, but New York is a totally different universe in every way. So the best players on every instrument and every style of music live down the street.
Yeah.
So that's really inspiring and really
sure.
exciting. But there's not enough work for them, let alone for two people just starting out. And that's, you know, the experiences we had there were invaluable. In a lot of ways, just seeing that, seeing the greatest players on the planet playing for very little money,
yeah.
looking for a Sunday brunch gig or something.
It is. I so admire you for following your passion. I mean,
yeah.
all this
yeah.
time. I mean, you do have a lot of, and you can go to PetraSings.com and Andy Brown Guitar or something like that. AndyBrownGuitar.com. And see all the, we'll talk about that later. Let's let people listen to you. You brought some CDs. I was not about to have you come in and play. We were talking about Judy Roberts would never come in at all. Old friends from before her music days. What would you like the people to hear?
Anything but Easter Bonnet. We were at a brunch gig today. We played it three times at the
really
end of every set.
Times?
Yes,
maybe
we did.
Four,
maybe four times. No, that was last night. Oh, no. It's all running together. Why don't we play the first cut on our duo CD? The tune is called Destination Moon.
Destination
Moon.
And
our duo CD is called Faraway Places.
There once was a time when the colorful thing to do was to call for a girl on a bicycle built for two. But cars and trains and even planes all have had their day. Now the time is due to call for you in the modern atomic way. Come and take a trip in my rocket ship. We'll have a lovely afternoon. What a thrill you get riding on a jet. Destination moon. Travel fast as light to a lost from sight. The earth is like a toy balloon. Kiss the world goodbye as away we fly. Destination moon. We'll go up, up, way up, straight to the moon we two. So high in the starry blue, I'll be out of this world with you. And away we'll steal in a space mobile, a supersonic honeymoon. Kiss the world goodbye as away we fly. destination moon.
Record that?
We did that a couple years ago, actually. We had gone overseas. We had played a few weeks in Holland and Germany and Belgium, and we came back. We had the title of the CD was Far Away Places, because we had been excited that we had gone to some different
and
places.
And we wanted to go to more.
But yeah, it seems like it's been a couple years now. Like we were just talking, I mean, recording CDs, it's such an interesting process. I mean, hearing that now after a couple years,
yeah.
It seems like, again, ancient history, but so it's sort of a long process. I mean, you got to pick the material, record it, mix it, design the cover, all that kind of stuff. So
let's go back to your first arrival in Chicago. You know anybody here in the business, or you came here?
Kind of... I mean, we knew some people. We had some friends from Cincinnati, actually, a couple people our age, good friends who had kind of laid some of the groundwork, been the pioneers, and come out. And we knew Judy a little bit, and we knew people we liked. We knew.
See, there is something to be said for the kind of. You know, when you're younger and starting out in a creative field, mm-hmm. to see other people like Judy, who's been doing it certainly a generation longer than you have been doing it, and you see her and someone like, let's say, I'm just going to, Bobby Lewis.
Oh, yeah, we love him.
And you see them still with this creative energy. That's got to be inspiring.
Oh, yeah, our whole thing, too. I mean... I think we've always been, I don't know what it is about us, but we hang out with people who are a lot older than us always. So we've always been inspired by people who have been doing it longer and who are kind of masters in their field. That's, I'd like to see people like I have in the past and continue to go see those people, because those are people who are inspiring. They've been through it, you know, and they've
When it's also lived. That there is no conventional, no longer any kind of conventional career path.
Right.
You know, no one I know who got in music biz, or certainly the jazz biz, was a careerist.
No.
But you see someone who has had, I'll pick on Bobby again,
yeah.
this remarkable career, and you see him playing at Andy's,
yeah.
you say, look how happy this person is.
I know,
look
I
how
love
still
him.
Vital he
well,
is.
He has the best attitude in the world.
You also go to Andy's and you see all these masters and veterans just waiting to mentor people, and no one's necessarily showing up for that, and that sort of party line as well, you know, you can't apprentice with anyone anymore, and those experiences aren't there, but hey, I mean, they are there. You just
I agree.
Up.
I think they are there. I think you just have to get out.
And with Bobby Lewis, for example, I mean, I told him that my favorite singer was Peggy Lee, and he said, oh, I played with Peggy Lee many times. He had me to his house. He sat there with me for 2 hours looking through all of his memorabilia and showing me all these things that she had written him, handwritten notes. And
well, the connection is important. You know, I had a guy on, you know, earlier who'd written a novel about a couple of old blues men, and I think, you know, in Buddy Guy, he's the last kind of link to Muddy Waters, and that is important. It is so nice to have you two in here, Petra Van Nouse.
Yeah.
Andy Brown.
Easy to say.
Rick, you've been pronouncing that wrong. For low, it's these okay. many years. You played today at Pete Miller's, which was a steady gig for you.
That's right.
You have a number of steady gigs. You have played with everybody. Is Phil Gertot still playing drums out there?
We play every Wednesday at Andy's. I have my own quartet, 5 to 8:30 Wednesdays at Andy's Jazz Club, and the fantastic Phil Gertot is on drums with me.
He's great. I got to get out more. I really do. That's
by.
One of I got to get out more. I used to play golf with Bobby Lewis, and he's a very good golfer. Not too inspirational there. We'll be back, and you'll hear some more music with these fine people. We're live. We're local. We're Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Petra Van Nuys, rhymes with mouse, and Andy Brown.
Rhymes with downtown.
You're just, yeah,
downtown.
Downtown
Andy Brown.
Have been jewels on the Chicago jazz scene for 10 years now. Do you remember your first professional gig in Chicago?
I remember Andy's, only because you actually played at Pete Miller's. With Kimberly Gordon, and you left your guitar.
Right, I was so nervous, I forgot my guitar.
Is that right?
He came home. There. He drove all the way home, and he's like, I have to go back.
I think I lost my keys or something. No, Andy, you lost your guitar.
Yeah.
You've lost your guitar.
I have no idea what my first gig was here. Totally have no idea.
How often, I know you each play apart from one another, but your collaboration is what I am so, so taken by. That's simply the nature of the business, is it not?
Yeah, and it's also good for us because we learn so much from other people. And then we play together. It's a different thing. And, you know, you kind of develop relationships with different people, different tunes you always do with this group and that group.
Let's hear another one. What would you like the great Aubrey Mumpower to play?
Should we do something from your new CD?
That's true, yeah. That's a good segue. Speaking of playing with other people.
Yes.
Once a year, I play at the Green Mill, which I remember the first time I played there. That was a big thrill because I remember visiting and always loving that club. But I play there once a year for a weekend every year with a great guitarist from New York City named Howard Alden, who's one of the finest jazz guitarists on the planet. And he's nice enough to come play with me and a bass player and a drummer.
When is that every year?
This year it'll be November 7th and 8th.
Wow.
And we play with Joe Policastro on the bass and Bob Rummage on the drums to really fun.
Nice to have something planned that far in advance.
Oh, yeah.
It's very nice.
And you guys have to. You really have to, yeah.
Last year it was nice that we had Delmark Records in town released a CD of the four of us called Heavy Artillery. And it's come out and been very well received, so that's a really exciting collaboration.
What cut would you like Aubrey to play?
I think we're going to play a blues cut from there, something by Clark Terry called Chuckles.
Chuckles. Got it, Aubrey? We're ready to go. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Welcome back to the show. That's Andy Brown playing guitar with one of his heroes or one of his collaborators. But more to the point, off air, we're talking about, Courtney pointed out that the song was 5 minutes. I'm like, who cares? It's really beautiful music. And Andy starts to tell a story.
Well, I was fortunate. Actually, we're talking about Judy Roberts. Thanks to Judy. She was nice enough to recommend me to none other than Barbara Streisand. And Barbara was in town to appear on the Oprah Winfrey Show. You remember that show that was here? And
yeah, it's hard to forget.
Barbara had done sort of a jazz album with a trio, and so she brought her piano player, but they needed some local musicians to fill out the band and play a couple songs in the show. So we went down to Harpo Studios a day early, and we're rehearsing a few tunes, and all of a sudden, in the middle of one of the tunes, the producer from Oprah comes running out, kind of furiously waving their hand and say, no, you got to cut the song down. You know, America can only hear a minute and 30 seconds of music. They can't handle a song longer than that. So there's Barbara Streisand.
What was her reaction? Because I would think that Barbara Streisand is someone you were really not, whether you're Oprah or not, you're not going to dictate to her.
I mean, it was a great life lesson, honestly, in a couple ways. One, just that they could say that to Barbara Streisand, and she was 100% professional. But the real amazing thing was that her piano player, who was a phenomenal musician, quickly pulled the music out and cut, okay, we're going to cut this measure, that measure, take out this ending, you know, go to the repeat. And then Barbara nailed it right away. I mean, so that showed you what a consummate professional.
Pro.
I mean, this is to go on the Oprah show on national TV and doing it in a way that she had never sung it before.
What was the song?
It was Make Someone Happy. And that was, you know, that was an intense experience just to see her, because it was right before, maybe, I can't remember when, but I think right before we were going to film the
You know, spot. What is this? You know, we do live in the short attention span world.
That's true.
And jazz has ever been a sort of really contemplative kind of thing where you do and should kind of allow yourself to be bathed in it. Has that affected your work at all beside your various gigs with Barbara Streisand and Oprah Winfrey?
My attention span is so short.
I mean,
I can't even answer the question.
I think we're all feeling that in this world.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's affected by it. I mean, we've all read the studies of the people's attention spans with the iPhones and every distraction is not helping people sit and listen to a music that
requires concentration. And when you look out and even at a jazz club, you see people pulling out their iPhones and looking stuff up in the middle of, I don't know.
No, I bet that happens.
You're right.
You know, it's easy to think in a hotel, some of those are good gigs, but the people are distracted because they're conventioners and want to get drunk. But the whole iPhone, in your area here, the whole iPhone thing would be, I'd bar them from jazz.
Well, Joe Siegel, as we all know, gives great speech before performances at the Jazz Showcase, and his latest one incorporates put away your iPhone. You know, you can do that at home. We got great musicians here, and you don't need to be doing that while they're playing.
And that is, I want to give Green Mill's a great place. Andy's a great place. The Jazz Showcase, which I have seen now in my life through about, 10 different incarnations, is one of the great rooms you've seen more than I have in this country. Don't you agree?
I do agree.
For listening, for drinking, for anything.
And just Joe Siegel is a lover of jazz who's been there since the 40s, through thick and thin, putting the music out. And I know both of us have played there, and it's a big thrill for both of us.
Yeah, it's always wonderful to play there.
You two are something. Petra Van Nous and Andy Brown will be back in a couple minutes, and we'll hear one more song. Maybe this we can play a 10-minute long song and talk over. Aubrey, that was great that you played it underneath while we were talking. That was really great. I couldn't let that Barbara Streisand story go. We'll be right back. Sadly, just a few more minutes with Petra Van Nous and Andy Brown. You'll read about them soon in the Chicago Tribune within the next couple of months. We've just been hatching plots here to make ourselves rich, and I'm sorry we cannot tell you about them. How pragmatic are you two guys about the future? I mean, do you think about it?
Yeah, of course you do,
but I mean, you don't plan it, and your careers, I think, have been going very nicely. You play, you have fans, you collaborate with interesting people.
For us, complaints? That's all, that's all we want to do, and that's all that we can do is just keep doing what we're doing and enjoying ourselves and getting into the music. You know, trying to get into the career, to me, is, speaking of pragmatic, it just doesn't make sense. All that we can control and all that we can feel good about is just throwing ourselves into the art of it and getting into each night and getting into the songs and having a good time, you know, swinging out with our friends.
Do you guys, how often do you practice? Do you literally practice for hours at home? Or
We both explore music, you know what I mean? Practicing in the sense of working on technique and scales or, you know, dexterity, not so much. But, I mean, learning about music is a continual thing. So you try to carve out space in your day, you know, maybe I'm going to, it doesn't always have to be jazz, maybe I'm going to study these Bach violin sonatas, or I'm going to listen to a record that is by one of my favorite guitarists, and I'm going to turn off my iPhone and distractions and just listen to the music, and maybe I have to learn repertoire for somebody I'm playing with, a new song or something like that. I mean,
do you guys compose at all?
Not so much. I mean, we're sort of specialists in a way in older songs, and it's sort of strange because we don't really have any kind of nostalgia for the good old days. It's
just, right.
That's the music that our heroes played and the music we grew up hearing, and so we seem to gravitate towards.
But it's also the music that people want to hear.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you're saying about being pragmatic. I mean, I think that for us, we really only care about the music, but it's also what we do for a living. So the two things are totally separate. I mean, and it's what you think probably about in any field. I mean, you have to come up with a niche. You have to find an avenue that maybe there aren't a lot of other people doing what you're doing and try to figure out how to sell it to buyers of talent. And, you know, I had a mentor say, you know, I'm in the novelty business. You know, I'm selling myself, you know, and I'm the novelty, and I have to come up with something that people are going to want to purchase. So, I mean, that's the sort of
that's interesting.
Pragmatic
that's
avenue.
Yeah,
as long
sure.
As, you know, and there's always outlets for that, whether it's parties, whether it's music for people eating dinner, whether it's, you know, being in a club and being an act that people pay money to see. I mean, you kind of juggle all these different functional avenues and put it together and sort of squeeze out your living. But, I mean, that's nothing new in music, too. You know, the more I learn about music, go back to Handel and people like that. I mean, they're writing music for parties, for dances, for sweet 16 parties. I mean, it's
what's always troubled me a bit about jazz is the notion that some people that it's inaccessible, that they will have heard someone say, "I don't like jazz." I say, "Well, what do you mean? My father used to play me these weird Miles Davis albums." I go, "Well, come on."
Well, there's so much.
There's so much
to
exactly.
jazz. I mean, I think that's also confusing to people.
I do too. So.
People, the nicest compliment I think we get, and we get it a lot, is people will say, "I thought I hated jazz, but then I heard you guys."
I like it now.
But on your end, think of what a world that opens up to people.
It's true.
It opens. They can be introduced to Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and young people. I mean, that's the one that I always enjoy, because I think young people just aren't exposed to not just jazz, but just a lot of good music. So when they hear it, they're actually into it. It doesn't take much to get
There's
them
no
into
question.
It. It's just that they're not exposed to it.
Yep.
But I've seen it more and more. Lots of young people.
We were
coming
lucky. Our parents exposed us to good music, and they were music lovers. But even so, it took me a long time to appreciate jazz. You know, my dad's a music lover. My grandfather was a real big jazz fan. But as a kid, it just went over my head, and you have to be exposed to things that are accessible.
Well, I'd say I'm grateful to my father for that, too.
Yeah.
For that, too, for just sitting there on some snowy Sunday afternoon and just playing record after record after record.
Yeah, we had music in the house.
They're trying to explain how Louis Armstrong had to play his horn on the other side of the door. I'm like, wow. It was better than Star Wars.
That's good.
Petra Van Nouse and Andy Brown, it's an ongoing pleasure to know you both.
Likewise, Rick. Thank
We're going to lift Aubrey will close off the show with one last tune from these two, because nice as they are to talk to, they're probably the nicer to listen to.
Yeah. This is a cut from our 7-piece band. We have a 7-piece band with Andy and I, bass and drums, and then 3 fantastic horn players, Kim Cusack on the clarinet, Russ Phillips on the trombone, and Art Davis on the trumpet. It's called the Recession 7 is the name of the band.
Oh.
We do all kind of 20s and 30s style. Yeah, because it's trad jazz.
It's perfect too. It's very topical because we're in some kind of recession now.
The
it's
band had our first gig right
where?
In the our first gig was at the Green Mill right as the recession hit. It was September 2008.
Nice.
And that's why and Dave Gemmelo said, "What's the name of your band?" And we're like, "The Recession 7." And that stuck.
I love it. It's great to see you guys, ladies and gentlemen. Here they are.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Running wild, I've lost control. I'm running wild, mighty bold. I'm feeling gay and reckless too. Carefree mind.